More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for being with us today. We've spent the last couple of days digging into the past and illuminating just some of the important moments of the history of race relations in Milwaukee. When it comes to the civil rights movement of the 1960s, there are dozens of locations in the city where key events occurred. Shirley Butler Durge wants to make sure that the history that happened at these sites isn't forgotten. Butler Durge was an active member of the NAACP Youth Council in Milwaukee during the 1960s, and she has many personal memories of many significant civil rights events around Milwaukee. She's working now to create a course and walking tour recognizing these places and the history that happened there. Butler Durge gave a tour of some of the places she hopes to highlight to Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce.
Butler Durge starts our tour in front of Rufus King High School at West Olive and North 17th Street on the city's northwest side. The battle for desegregation had been waging in Milwaukee's schools for years before she transferred to Rufus King in the late 60s. And though Butler Durge says Rufus King was an integrated school and had a large black student population, she says its curriculum didn't represent all of its students.
What was going on in most of the schools in the city of Milwaukee was that they lacked the culture of many of the children or the students who were attending the schools. And when I say lack culture, I simply mean that when I would look in the history books, I did not see anything that reminded me of the accomplishments that black people had achieved. And this kind of started with me. A little bug was put there in my head because my mother was involved with Lord Bobby and, of course, Father Grumpy. And they were all, they had several meetings and gatherings, I should say, at St. Boniface, my grade school and my church. And they were looking at the segregation of the schools. And so all of this just really, I mean, I'm around all of this talk. And so, of course, that's what got me going, thinking, well, why aren't we in the history books? I just couldn't understand that. And just even being in the seventh grade at St. Boniface, I remember raising my hand and saying, Sister Marie, I don't understand. Where are the black people? And she said, well, turn to page 187. And I turned to 187, and there was this little capture of a black woman bending down, picking cotton. And she had this little baby who had hardly any clothes on standing next to her. And I just like, well, is this all? And she said, yes, you all didn't accomplish. You didn't do that much. And I said, well, that's a lie. I don't believe that. And I took the history book and threw it out of the window.
Other students, including other members of the NAACP Youth Council, shared Butler Durge's frustrations. So she and the other students decided to stage a walkout.
We were going to present a letter to the principal and demand that there be hired black teachers and that there also have, we have blacks put in textbooks that are reflected on the accomplishment of black people. And that's where we staged a walkout. We actually organized ourselves and we were in the cafeteria and we just walked out. And it was about at least 200 students who walked out. It was majority black people. And we called the shots, we made all the decisions. But we had people from every color under the sun who came to support us. And even when we had the walkout, there were teachers in the building who wanted to meet with us and wanted to talk and wanted to make changes and helped us get organized. They even supported us with picketing the school board. Okay, so eventually we did get a textbook that was about 10 pages long of accomplishments. And of course, that was just to kind of keep us quiet, but changes were coming, but they were coming just very, very slow.
Butler Durge takes me next to the site where St. Boniface Church stood, near the intersection of 10th and Clark. It was the place for numerous gatherings, planning meetings, and demonstrations by civil rights leaders in Milwaukee, notably Father James Groppi. It was also the site where Milwaukee's NAACP Youth Council was first formed.
We had a group called the Young Christian Society, and it was young people who were picked from the 7th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, and 8th grade. And I happened to be one of those young people. And we used to meet every Sunday after Mass, and we'd just talk about issues. But from that group, we started meeting with Father Grumpy. And we began to ask him, what could we do? Because as we were growing, a lot of things was happening. Not only the injustices that we saw. But where are the black people in the books? Why are things the way they are? So we wanted to make a change. We later on went to Father Gruppy, and we sat down and we talked. And then Father Gruppy says, well, why don't we make ourselves a chapter? Didn't know what that meant. So him and some of the older young people in the group wrote up. They sent off so that we became a chapter. And that's how the NAACP came about. I remember in the church basement, we had a little, well, when we got our paper, we were all excited and stuff. And then we had to vote for president, vice president. And I was voted to be the chairperson of education. So I was a chairperson of education at the age of 12. And I kept that position for a very long time.
The NAACP Youth Council was also involved in the establishment of so-called freedom schools.
A lot of parents and a lot of the students from various schools, mostly from St. Boniface, came together, and because the schools were not teaching what we wanted them to teach, we decided to boycott the schools. We boycotted the schools, and we started having schools in our own churches. And at those sites, we would be there all day long, and we had people coming in and talking to us. We had lectures. We got a chance to stand up and talk about what we wanted our schools to be like. And so we became designated leaders. The next time we had a freedom school boycott, it was vast. And it was from that group of young people who organized that. And we had schools, we closed down all the schools. North Division was involved. Many of the schools were involved. Even parochial schools were involved. And kids just didn't go to their regular schools for about a week or two. We went to the freedom schools. It was only because, again, like I had mentioned before, there were things that needed to be addressed and taught in the schools that was not being taught as an appreciation for my culture, which was totally missing, for more black teachers. And that's why it's so important to document all of this. I did not know that what we had stepped in to do was actually began back in 1940, 1930. When the Urban League and the NAACP were fighting, just trying to get jobs for black people. And then that kind of moved into trying to get, the big fight was to try to get black teachers in the Milwaukee public school system. There were no black teachers. And then finally, when the schools, because blacks were migrating so to Milwaukee, then they had like four schools, or maybe let's just say three schools designated as black schools. And this is where the black kids went, and they were all boxed into those schools, and the black teachers.
But Butler Durge tells me that the NAACP Youth Council wasn't just concerned about education, but also about segregated housing policies and the need for open housing for African Americans. Butler Durge takes me next to a corner off Clybourne, across the street from the 16th Street Viaduct, now named after Father Grappi. After city officials did not take action, the Youth Council and other civil rights supporters marched here from the city's north side to protest for an open housing law in 1967.
There were three dramatic days of walking across this bridge that I will never forget. One, well, of course, we walked across the bridge, and when we got to the south side, just right on by National, we were greeted by the most animalistic people I've ever seen in my whole life. And I remember that it was dusk dark. I was only an arm length from Father Gruppy. And these men were standing on top of cars, and this was called Crazy Jim's Auto Place. And they were standing on top of cars, and they were looking like Fonzie. They had their T-shirts on rolled up like they had soap or whatever in it. And they had written on their shirts, nigger lover. I never forget it. And they were shouting that he was a nigger lover and go back to Africa and white power. It was just the craziest thing I've ever seen. And they were throwing bottles and spitting on us. The one thing that I kept saying to myself was that I remember in our training and in our meetings, not to fight and not to call back names, because that would cause people to begin to fight and people would get hurt. And we had to go nonviolence. And I remember a big bottle popping off of Father Gruppy's head just like it was a plastic, and this blood just gushing down the side of his face. And I was like, oh my God. And I could not get to him, but the Custis commandos completely surrounded him and moved him more in so that he could not get hurt. And I just kept on singing and kept on singing. But I tell you, that was a day when I did not believe that I was in Milwaukee. And the flash again of way back when I was a little kid and I saw that Bremerton, Alabama, when they were doing the water hose, I was saying to myself, so this is your moment. And it's not water, but it's the words, it's the taunting, and them throwing whatever. You just keep on walking, keep on walking.
Were you scared?
Oh, I was scared, but I was beyond scared. I was shocked that people could do people the way they did. That's what shocked me. And it was like I had an out-of-body experience. I was feeling sorry so badly for them. And then I saw little children with them, and they had on white shirts, and it says nigger lover, you know. And I was feeling sad for them to be seeing a people behave like this, you know, like we are some kind of freak of nature, you know, like we're aliens, you know. And they didn't even know me. And that blew me away. And then finally, I remember the police kind of like stopping us from going any further because we were already in hell. And us turning around and walking back, and then those people still throwing bricks and rocks and stuff at us. Another time that we went through, and the police, it seemed like thousands of them, they lined up. And all I remember is looking back, and they were lined up like a rope. They had on these helmets, riot helmets, and they had on these long, they had these long sticks, and they were all lined up. And all of a sudden they started walking slowly toward us, and that's to make the marchers turn back. And then they start trotting. And all you could hear was vroom, 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 vroom. And I looked, I couldn't believe it. The people start walking back, and then the police start throwing gas bombs, and people were just running everywhere because you couldn't see. All I could do was just, I felt my face, I was crying because my eyes were burning, and so I just stood still. I couldn't move. And I remember hearing my friends calling. It's like I had out-of-body experiences, and I was watching everything, and I was at, it was not like, it was not a movie. It was more than a movie because I knew everybody. I could hear people screaming because I could hear also people being hit with sticks. And I could hear people saying, stop. And so finally, when I was able to see and rubbing my eyes, I saw a motorcycle pull in front of me. And it was, I don't know to this day if it was a man or a woman. And I jumped on, and he just drove off and drove me out of the area. And then he says, okay, you're okay. And I got off, and I was out of the midst of everything.
With such vivid memories, Butler Durge hopes to bring the history of these locations and many others in Milwaukee alive for its residents through a walking tour. She believes Milwaukee's civil rights history is just as important as what occurred in other places like Alabama. And she says we must study these past events in order to get a roadmap for dealing with race relations in the future.
It is so important for people to know where we came from, because that gives you substance so that you know where you're going. And I say that simply because I'm looking at the crime level. I'm looking at teens still fighting and killing one another over silly things. I'm looking at people being upset now because of the economy and like, well, what can we do? You know, I'm just looking at all of that. And I'm saying to myself, well, what can I do? What can I do? And so it just dawned to me that people need to know, what did we do in the 60s? It was a very powerful movement that was going on here in the 60s. We had a civil rights movement that was so strong here in the North, as well as the civil rights movement that was going on in the South. So when people hear the story, some people will be able to grab some resources from that and say, hey, we need to get organized. I would love to see the youth come forth and just have a march against teens, against violence against teens okay? Planting the seeds for the future. So people are wondering, well, how did you do that? And look at the results from that. It's just awesome. Not only was there a change in education, there was a change in fair housing. People can live wherever they want to live. People hungering for something different, hope. So that's the whole purpose of putting the class together and putting the tour together so people can come together and talk.
Shirley Butler Durge is a poet, author of several books, and was an active member of the NAACP Youth Council in the 1960s. She's working to create a walking tour of Milwaukee sites that were important during the civil rights movement. She spoke and toured with Stephanie Lecce. And that's all the time we have today. Our Project Milwaukee series continues all next week on both Lake Effect and in our daily news reports. On Monday, the WUWM Newsroom will feature stories on prejudice that still exists today. They'll also explore the difference between racial segregation and separation. On Lake Effect, we'll continue the conversation, taking on issues such as white flight and barriers to employment. Lake Effect is produced by Technical Director Dan Harmon, Coordinating Producer Stephanie Lecce, Production Intern Trapper Shep, and Executive Producer Mitch Tyke. Willie Porter wrote our theme music, and I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again on Monday for more of Lake Effect, 10 in the morning and 11 at night on 89.7 WUWMHD, Milwaukee Public Radio.